This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Running with Horses, a podcast devoted to inspire you concerning a relationship with Almighty God that empowers you to accomplish things you never thought possible. Shirley Weaver wants to take you there. And now, here's today's episode.
Hey, welcome. I'm glad you're here today. You know, based on the feedback we receive from different platforms, our website, social media, that kind of thing, I just have an idea that the information we're going to share today will be really timely for many people. That's why we're going to cover it. And so it's a lot to unpack, actually, in one podcast, but we're going to address a couple of things today. The title is The Spirit of Death and Hell. The Spirit of Death and Hell. And first of all, I think a brief sort of intro on the topics of fear, panic, the oppression that tends to go with those things, that we can just look at that a little bit, because when we touch on these areas, the details can really be vast and sort of endless, because the suffering people experience this way is for so many very, very real. We actually have a title in our book, Running with Horses. The chapter title is Panic Attack. It's a daily devotion with the information on panic attack, and it's one of our most read, most responded to posts. And so just before we go there, let's get a little grounding here. Isaiah 54, verse 14. I love this. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. So this righteousness Isaiah wrote is a form of establishment. It's a grounding. And because of that grounding, oppression shall be far from you, fear far from you, terror far from you, shall not even come near you. So this would be our objective. It's the goal, the way that Isaiah described it. It's the way that, you know, the Word of God will ground you in whether to believe something or not. Really, whether to even go there. That truth of God's Word promises something we can rely on. That these things are not from God. They are not. But instead, the righteousness of God is your ground. It is your solid rock. It is where you are established. So fear is not, panic is not from God. Panic is actually magnified fear. And there is no fear in God. The fear base of panic comes from actually various sources. Torments develop from an accumulation over time. Torment, fear, panic. It's really every fear ever recorded in your character occurring all at the same time, like in your brain, like it hits your brain. So Satan, of course, is the source of all of that. He is the cause of every extreme, uncontrollable fear and torment. He is the culprit. Again, this stuff is not of God. And so for many, even knowing that, the experience of being panicked to the point of losing control is very real, because really, fear and terror produce an actual chemical change in the body, not just change, that word is plural, changes, like sweating, like rapid heart rate. So the sense of terror results when an extreme fear of anything that cannot be controlled reaches the human brain. And science has identified the chemicals that are released as a result and the balances that are produced. And basically, that kind of research is where, you know, medical science goes. It's where pharmaceutical drugs derive their purpose. So obviously, this experience for those who have it can be really devastating. Now, here's the good news. For the believer, God designed the human mind to clear itself and then to give a cleansed mind back to you and me. So God designed a way for my brain to cleanse itself. And having cleansed my brain, he hands the thought life that results back to me so that those thoughts and memories about fearful expectations, terrifying experiences that have been stored in my mind, he cleanses those and then returns my thought life to me to then be controlled by me. So that's the process. He sets up this intentional automatic provision for the human mind to cleanse itself. We know that that is done in his presence with his word, meditation in his word, and the design there is to cleanse those thoughts, to cleanse the brain, and then hand that restoration back to me so that thoughts, memories, those fearful expectations, terrifying experiences that have been stored in the mind, now I have control, and I can control those going forward. Now, when he does that, my response depends on what I believe. What I believe about fear's power to control me. And when he does that, when he moves and then he waits for my response, he strengthens me to deny fear's domination and to choose instead to believe that God's love has already, in other words, this is a present tense reality, delivered me from every fear. He does the work. I respond. I cooperate with him. He strengthens me. I deny fear any place and believe God's love instead. I'm already delivered. And I mean, you can't escape mentioning right here the aspect of condemnation, because with fear, particularly with panic and sudden panic, there's a lot of condemnation because, you know, we sort of pride ourselves on being able to control. And when we lose control, there's a lot of guilt involved that we can't do better, we can't overcome. But listen, condemnation is not of God either. He's not doing this. It's all coming from the dark side. It's all coming from Satan's kingdom. So we know that Calvary has already made provision right here, right now. The Lord does not condemn. His compassion extends to anyone suffering panic, whatever the cause, no matter how deep, no matter how long it's been going on. So if you are fearful, allow his compassion to fill you. Cooperate with him. Receive his deliverance for your whole being, for your spirit, your soul, your body. And I'm not going to read, but just reference verses right here. Make a note of these. Romans 10:17, 2 Timothy 1:7, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 15, Psalm 91 in its entirety, Isaiah 54, 14 through 15, Romans 10, 17, 2 Timothy 1, 7, Psalm 139, 13 through 15, Psalm 91, Isaiah 54, 14 through 15. Okay, now, the spirit of death and hell, where do you get that expression? Where did that come from? Well, basically, anytime there is destruction, destructive loss, anything like that, two things are certain. And you have to have this clear. Like, this has to be clear in your thinking. Satan, whose name means destroyer, is the culprit. And God, whose name means creator, savior, deliverer, is on the scene to rescue, to deliver, and to restore, to put things back the way that he intended originally. So we want to cooperate with him. We want to resist Satan. He will flee. And we want to draw nigh to God, because his love, his deliverance, is the power to overcome. So to this end, the Lord gave our ministry a prayer a few years ago. And in giving us this prayer, it sort of was unexpected. I didn't ask for it. I wasn't thinking about it. One of those things where God's, as we say here on the podcast, God just divinely intervenes. He's got rescue on his heart, and he just comes with what you need, even if you don't ask. And he let us know with this prayer that our faith in matters of life and death will increasingly be challenged. Now, this was several years ago, so that is definitely the case now, even more so. And so perhaps this is because we really take seriously our team, I believe our subscribers and followers, certainly our supporters and those that, who are close to this mission, we really take seriously covering prayer for our communities, definitely our nations, and we recognize the prophetic aspect of this prayer, and we just integrated it as a regular assignment, especially during times of particular threat. So since receiving this word and the prayer, we've published it several times on several ministry in several ministry formats, and the response is why I'm telling you this today. There's a need. There's a place we need to touch. So from time to time, it just seems good to revisit this prayer, and of course, this time on our Running with Horses podcast. So just a brief background of the scriptures that we're drawing from here, which will give you greater understanding, is so that you can see the biblical significance of this force that we're describing, the spirit of death and hell. It's a spirit. And the scriptures, I believe, are helpful because they let us know that there's a place to study right here in God's word, to learn for ourselves, not to take my word for it or anybody's word for it, but to study it, to pray, to ask God to show you. So not to be severe, but to hopefully uncover the principles that the Lord spoke to us the day he gave us this prayer, remembering that evil forces fully intend to destroy anything that's good, to destroy good things. So nothing new to see here, but really to put a spotlight and a reality and to uncover the force is ours to take, to take charge of and defeat, because the Lord has given us that authority. I hope this will strengthen you. The scriptures here are for your study. As I said, this is the prayer basis that God gave to us. First of all, Revelation 20, verse 13, speaks of death and hell. Some translations read death and Hades. So death and hell. Death, the word says, is the last enemy to be destroyed. Hades, hell, is that temporary abode of the dead until the final judgment. Final judgment in Hebrew is Yahadim. Yahadim. The literal meaning is unseen, or the unseen realm. Hades, hell, the spiritual area is the unseen realm. Next verse. Revelation 1:18. Hell and death. So earlier in the last verse, we read death and hell. Here we read hell, or Hades, and death. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. I have the keys of hell and death." So Jesus is now Lord. He has the keys. He is Lord over the realms of life and death. The power of satanic prerogatives because of man's fall in the garden and original rebellion are now avoidable. Let me say that again. Stay with me here. Jesus is now Lord over the realms of life and death. The power of satanic prerogatives because of man's original rebellion, the fall of Adam in the garden, are now avoidable. Satan's power, his prerogatives, his plans, his efforts are now avoidable. Next verse, Revelation 6, 8. Death and hell. Death and hell. Again, death and Hades. Death in this verse is reference to the pale horse rider of the fourth seal of Revelation. And Hades, or hell, followed with him. Hell followed with death. Hell followed with the pale horse rider, the rider of the pale horse in the fourth seal of Revelation. So the pale horse rider, if you remember, and if you don't recall, go back and read this. Study it out. It's not difficult to understand. Just get it in front of your eyes. Stop and take some time. This pale horse was given power over a fourth of the earth. And hell was following with him, with the pale horse. Next verse, Revelation 21, verses 4 and 8. First of all, another grounding verse, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. This is the promise to the believer, to the follower of Jesus Christ. Tears are wiped away. No more death, nor sorrow, no crying, no pain. Those are former things. They're passed away. And then, verse 8, begins with the word, but. The cowardly, fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. Beginning with the cowardly and fearful, going through some difficult descriptions, ending with liars, we see here that there is an open door, actually a connecting door that connects to death with these conditions, ultimately connecting to Hades or hell. So here again, the clear contrast, Revelation 21. You know, Revelation 21 is one chapter away from the last chapter in God's Word. The 22nd chapter of Revelation closes out everything from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation 22. And we're right here at the next to the last chapter. So here's the contrast. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. But there is an open door connecting to death and ultimately connecting to hell. I'm paraphrasing here. For the cowardly, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. There is an end completely different from verse 4 for those conditions. So we know that God has set up deliverance for all those. Anything that is cowardly or fearful, anything that is lying, God has set up a deliverance to be part of verse 4, not part of verse 8. So you see why we can stand firmly on the prayer that God gave us. And anything that you don't understand, the Lord will speak to you. He will give you everything you need to know. So I'm just going to read this prayer. And we can just allow this prayer to go out like a washing, a blanket, a delivering word. I'll just try to keep it pretty much intact here. So here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I verbally enforce my covenant of life and peace with you today, declaring that Jesus is my peace, declaring that the spirit of a life of life is upon me by virtue of the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. I prophetically declare that death is absolutely, ultimately powerless, as powerless as all evil forces compared to the spirit of deliverance from Almighty God. And that in the wisdom of Almighty God, death will be the last enemy totally put under my feet. But already and even today, Jesus has the keys of death and hell. And the power of Satan is locked up where I am concerned. There will be no death and no devilish activity in my life, nor in the life of my family, according to the word of the Lord, and according to his authority, the one who holds the keys to death and hell. I further take authority over the spirit of Antichrist, already in the earth, including the working of the spirit of the pale horse rider, who will be released in the final time of the Antichrist. I declare the influence of death and hell has no power over me, over my house, over the area God has called me to rule. Therefore, I bind the spirit of death, I bind the spirit of hell, and I bind the spirit of death and hell working together to illegally advance against me, against my family, or against areas where God has given me authority to rule. Now bound, I speak to you, spirits of death and hell, and I command you to leave. Leave this region, leave this area of my authority, and I release and loose into every place of my authority the spirit of life, the spirit of peace, and the spirit of life and peace working together. And I say, amen and amen. So be it. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, save that prayer, rehearse it, use it, announce it, declare it, and let me say again for you and all those you love and everything you care about, Isaiah 54, verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. I agree. I agree for you and with you. We thank God for this word. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Don't forget to check out the show notes or visit aclearTrumpet.org, where you can subscribe to Shirley's email list, download the ministry app, and purchase your very own copy of Shirley's 365-day devotional, Running with Horses. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.